Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. Today's guest is Santina Muha, and I have just met Santina 45 seconds ago, so I don't know enough about her to even to introduce her properly, so I'm going to let you do it. Tell me, what is it? You're an actor?
Yeah, I'm an actress, comedian. I do some hosting and writing, and improvising at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater.
What is that, and where is that?
That's in Los Angeles, and there's also one in New York. It's a comedy theater. We do improv and sketch comedy, and it's really fun.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, how did you get started in that? And talk about childhood for just a minute, because when did you know you had this ability?
I've always been interested in television and, acting and entertainment my whole life. I used to dance a lot, too, as a child. And somewhere along the line, I just decided I like comedy the best. And so when I moved out to Los Angeles, I started taking classes at the UCB Theater. And
so you knew where you were going kind of from starters.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was being pushed in that direction, certainly, by the universe or whatever you want to.
Oh, what about by your parents, though? Did they?
Oh, my mom just.
You were self-directed. I mean, this is something.
Yeah.
What TV did you grow up on?
Oh, gosh.
Yes, oh, gosh.
Well, I remember sneaking Seinfeld, Saturday Night Live. I loved it, and my mom would let me watch it. And then, Full House, Saved by the Bell. My all-time favorite show of all time is Beverly Hills 90210.
Is it?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, till this day. And
what do you love about it?
I guess it was my first, look at real teenage life, and I thought it was so cool. And
but you were in New Jersey while you were watching this, is that right?
Exactly, and I just loved Los Angeles. I just love the palm trees. I love the weather. I love what everyone was wearing. I love Luke Perry.
Oh, I wish this were a television moment because I love the way your eyes just rolled up towards heaven as you said that.
Oh, God. He's a dreamboat. And, I always kind of knew based on that show. And then kind of, even Saved by the Bell and a lot of the things I watched were taking place in California. And I thought, wow, I'm really attracted to this place.
So
I
did
want
you come here on your own?
Yeah.
How old were you?
Oh, well, I was in my late 20s.
Oh, I see. So as an adult woman, you came out here.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And what was the first thing you did? But were you acting in New York? Were you doing comedy?
I wasn't doing comedy. I was doing more, just acting, commercials, things like that, what I'd have the chance to do. Some modeling, some hosting.
Wonderful.
Some journalism. I wrote for some different newspapers, and I wrote for Tiger Beat and Bop magazines. I would do celebrity interviews, with the teeny boppers for the tweens. So always kind of in that world. And then I came out here and right away started in UCB classes and loved it.
I'm curious how people start over. What's the first thing you do? You come out here and you find an apartment?
Yeah, I did. Actually,
did you know people here?
First thing I found was those furnished apartments, the ones that the people when they come for Dancing with the Stars, they put them up in these furnished apartments. So I was there for 2 months, but that was expensive, but it was cool. It was by the Grove. I didn't have a car, but I didn't need one because everything was there. And, I would take a taxi or whatever when it was something further away. So that was that. And then a friend of mine had a guest house. So I ended up renting. I said, okay, I like it. I want to live here. And then she let me, rent her guest house.
Okay.
And that was.
And then you started looking for work?
And then then I was taking classes. And and then I started looking for an agent, a manager, and all of that. Mm-hmm. And it just started, it worked.
I can see. I mean, you've got so much energy.
Yeah.
What kind of things do you like doing best? And
I love getting my hair and makeup done. I love I have to show up somewhere. And I can just show up, no makeup, and they just do it all for you. And then I love being on set. I love being on TV sets. It's so fun. I love working I got to work with Weird Al Yankovic the other day.
Oh,
that
really?
Was so fun.
My goodness. How did you come to be doing that?
Well, I was asked to do an episode of this comedy show.
And I see. So you get an agent who will call you?
Yeah, I haven't. Well, a lot of the work I get is right through UCB.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I also have a manager and a commercial agent and things like that. But sometimes you'll just, you know how it is in LA. It's who you know and who knows you.
Yes, I know that's true.
You get an email and you know, they ask you to be somewhere the next day.
So what did you do with him? With Weird Al? What's he doing these days?
He's on Comedy Bang Bang. It's a show on IFC. And so with Scott Aukerman. And so I got to go and do this episode of the show. Weird Al and I got to get into a little, like, slap fight. And it was so fun and surreal. And he was so funny. And I love doing things. I got to do recently something with Margaret Cho, a comedian that I really, you know, grew up loving. So that was fun. That's probably my favorite thing, when I get to work with people that I admire.
I must say that your enthusiasm and joy in all this probably is part of what makes you so attractive. And what people would want. I mean, there's no moment that you're not just reveling in this.
It's fun. It's what I've always wanted to do. And then I moved to Los Angeles, and it's like I feel like I all of a sudden moved into my television set. You know what I mean? The people that I see, and it's so exciting. And I've always just loved this world, and I'm so happy that I'm a part of it. And it worked. You know, I dreamed of coming here and having, you know, being a part of it, and then it happened, you know?
Yes.
And recently I was in the hospital and...
What happened there? Because I know that you were fine one day.
Yeah.
And then you were not fine the next.
Yeah.
Something just...
Yeah, I had a cut. And on the outside, it looked like a small cut. But little did I know that on the inside, it was growing and growing. And
there was an infection that got into...
And it turned
into
an infection.
Okay, so this is something people need to listen to, actually.
Actually, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
For sure, because you know what?
So
my
scary.
Doctor... My original doctor, I kept showing him this wound. I said, it's been almost a year. This is not healing. He said, it's fine. Don't worry. It doesn't look any worse. But sure, on the outside, it didn't look any worse. But without investigating.
You still knew it was a cut.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like a little, like a wound. But without investigating, we didn't realize, you know, that. And I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how I was supposed to know this. But I wish he would have told me. And that's why it's so important. Everyone says this, but you have to be your own advocate. No textbook knows your body better than you.
Right. And I knew a man, a physician, and he said to me, when I was a young girl, actually, he said, when it comes to your body, you are the world's expert.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say something is wrong, it is. And the doctors have to listen until they figure it out.
Yeah. Or until you say next and get a new doctor, which is what I had to do.
You shouldn't have to do that.
Well, okay, sometimes so you have to. And you know what? Don't feel bad. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. Yes. You're fired is perfectly appropriate.
Yeah, you're the boss. Some people think that the doctor, you know, people have a God complex with doctors. You're the boss, not the doctor. You're hiring them. You're paying them.
Good for you.
Yes. Okay. So I moved on to the next doctor, and then he did a surgery, and that didn't go well. And
what did he do the surgery for, though?
He had to clean out the inside of the wound.
I see.
Because it had hollowed out into a cave.
Oh, my goodness.
And it went all the way down to my bone. It's gross. I'm sorry, guys.
No, that's okay. It's so upsetting to see that you went through this.
I know, but you know what? It ended up being... I found so many silver linings. Of course, it was really scary. I was very close to death because my bone got infected. And I ended up being on 7 weeks of intravenous antibiotic. And I was 3 months in the hospital from Thanksgiving till Valentine's Day. I spent every major holiday in the hospital this year. And, but then I was out just in time for Valentine's Day. Great. Thanks. Way to remind the single girl. She's single.
Right.
But then, you know, I ended up, now I have a great team of doctors that I'm happy with, but it took me, you know, a hell to get there. But the silver linings that I found were the support that I got. I mean, it's scary. I moved here, and my friends, most of my, you know, true friends and family are back east.
They must have been horrified watching you go.
They were. But all of my new friends, many of them stepped up, and I've really strengthened a lot of bonds. And now I know who my real friends are here, and not just my, like, you know, my acting buddies. But now I feel like I really created a good network of friends and family out here, and that was really important to have. And one of the coolest things that happened is, I mentioned earlier how much I love Luke Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And so a friend of mine wrote him a letter telling him I was in the hospital.
I'm so glad you're touching on this. Go ahead.
Yeah. And she wrote a letter actually to his manager, because her manager knew his manager, yada, yada. He got the letter and he came and surprised me in the hospital. I mean, what a guy. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to cry.
I cried like a baby. I cried. It was so surreal to see this man, this face of this man that I've just seen thousands of times on my TV and in giant posters on my wall growing up and in pins that I would wear on my clothes in elementary school. And there he was standing in my door in the hospital. I mean, virtually unannounced. They just said, your visitor Luke is here. And
that's
I'm like,
I've died and gone to heaven moment.
It was literally my ultimate dream come true. If you said, what's the biggest dream, like, what's the one thing you would want to happen while you're in the hospital? I would say, I don't know, Luke Perry would come visit me. Like, thinking, like, that would be the most far-fetched, crazy thing. And there he was, standing in my door.
But it was a letter that got him there.
It was a letter.
The power of letters.
What a dream. I mean, like, what a dream. And then he was great. We hung out for about an hour, and we had real down-to-earth conversation. And I went from loving Dylan McKay to loving Luke Perry. Yeah.
That is great. A wonderful story.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. You know, you call these things stories. I mean, it's not a story. It's a wonderful part of life.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, he wanted no credit. He didn't. There's no press involved. He was just doing a great thing. And I just think that's amazing. And we're real salt of the earth guy. And, like, you know, he doesn't consider himself this icon. I do. But he doesn't. He just knew that it would make me happy. He knew it would make another human being happy. And he did it. And, oh, God. What a guy. I just can't.
You're also touching on something. The imbalance of the people who are in our homes every week from TV shows we love.
Mm-hmm.
And they're real familiar to us.
Right.
Because there they are in our living rooms and bedrooms every single week.
Right.
And they don't know who we are.
Yeah. I know. And it was amazing to me that he made this choice to come visit me. Because originally he was going to call, but then he thought, oh, I'll go surprise her. That's just amazing. I could have been a complete weirdo. But luckily I'm not. And we had a great time.
So what's life been like since you've been out of the hospital?
Oh, you know, it's been a little strange. I think I really...
Are you limited from this experience?
No.
So you're okay now?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm healthy. You know, I am in a wheelchair, mm-hmm. so I have that still going, but I'm back to...
Is that from this?
No. That's from a spinal cord injury from an auto accident when I was a very little girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I've been living this way for years, so... you know, I'm back that now to my life though, in my apartment and all that. But I do feel like this was one of those pivotal experiences that kind of changed me a little bit. I'm more comfortable just being at home. My FOMO, you know, fear of missing out has gone down from like a 10 to a 3, I would say. I used to hate missing a party, and now I feel pretty comfortable being at home watching, you know,
Luke
Netflix.
Perry
yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And hanging out, you know, I got a dog. Now I hang out with the dog. And so, you know, it gave me a new perspective on what's important. I don't know. It gave me perspective.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah. So, but trying to get back into the swing of things, I'm also focusing more on independent projects more than, you know, group things such as I'm still doing improv and stuff for fun, but I'm focusing a little bit more on my own book, my own scripts, things that I'm working
on. For you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have some going already now?
Yeah.
So you've got stories in your head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And some on paper even. I just did a storytelling thing last night, and I'm going to be delving into the world of stand-up comedy. I've always wanted to. And I think, you know, you got to try. It's never too late, and you have to. I feel like if you don't like it, don't do it.
You.
Yeah. If you don't like it, you can stop. But I've always wanted to try, so I'm going to, you know, that's
it. Good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice to hear. So you've got kind of what's been past and what's next, and you're clearly unstoppable.
Oh.
Gosh, may it be forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Let me ask you something about, I mean, you know, I'm so about letters.
Yes.
And the power of letters, and of course, I could just go retire right now because of this Luke Perry story.
It was great.
That is really something. Do you write letters?
Oh, wow. You know.
Who has time?
Does email count? No.
Oh, well, see, okay, you have this conversation by yourself, and yes, you're right. I think it does. I'm addicted to it. I love it, and I actually use it kind of as love letter writing. However, even if you do, and even if other people send you emails, you know, this technology changes every 25 minutes. And what's on here now, I mean, you're too young to know what Betamax.
No, I know.
Well, try to play one of those. You can't even play your VCRs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if they haven't corroded, which they probably have, go find something to play it in. They don't sell them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Push, you know, down the toilet.
But letters,
I have letters that are 100 years old and they look like they've been written yesterday. So I would say if you get emails that you love, print them out at least on really good, tough paper and stick them in a treasure box.
Yeah.
And if you write emails to people that kind of go for, you know, expressions of love, print them out.
Yeah, that's
print out
a great
yours
idea.
And sign it so that your handwriting is on it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. You know, I really feel like while I was in the hospital, I received a ton of love letters. People from my high school, people from, you know, cousins that I haven't spoken to in years, just through Facebook mostly,
yes.
You know, they saw what was going on with me and...
I know, that's how I saw you through.
Yeah, they really were telling me, you know, I found out how many people's lives I've touched without even knowing how, you know, they would say they think I'm so strong and things like this. And it helped me. I don't know. I don't know when's the last time I felt that loved in my life. And I laid in that hospital bed reading these letters that would come through. And, you know, I remember when I was being in the hospital when I was little.
After the auto accident?
After the accident. Mm-hmm. And my teachers would have the whole class
write
me letters, right? And that was always my favorite part, getting these individual letters from each person in my class. And, you know, that didn't happen this time. But instead, because now it's a new age, I got Facebook messages from people from around throughout my lifetime, and it was a real this is your life kind of virtual.
But you can print those out.
Yeah.
And when you're 90, you can still read them.
It's a great idea. I'm probably going to do that.
You should.
Because it made me feel so happy and loved, and you know, it gets you through. You know, when you're it does. Because when you're sick like that, when you're in the hospital and you're about to you could die.
Yes.
You start to question things. You start to give up a little bit. But when you see how many people are pulling for you and rooting for you, it's really hard to give up.
Can I give you a homework assignment?
Okay.
Okay. Just for thought, because you were talking about through this awful experience mm-hmm. of the bone infection and being in the hospital, mm-hmm. there were silver linings.
Yeah.
And a young man named, Mickey Smith, did a love letters with me a few weeks ago, and he had a bad experience. And he's a very positive person, like I can see you are. And he was just determined to see if there was any good following this awful experience he had. It was really a bummer. And it wasn't life or limb, but it was something that really was upsetting to him. And so he decided to make a flow chart.
Okay.
And right in the middle of this piece of paper, he put the bad thing that happened. And then he did a little line. And it actually solidified a friendship that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, he started to do exercises. And his whole life opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And there were all these good things that happened starting with that.
Yeah.
You know, like yours was maybe Luke Perry or just friends or whatever you say it is.
Yeah.
And then from that and that and that. And he talked about this flowchart. And I realized that is his love letter.
Mm-hmm.
Like to send a copy to each person.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
It's just something to think about.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
So if you were to write one right now, who would it be to?
I'm sure it would be to Luke. I'm sure because...
You haven't written back to him?
Not yet, no. Oh, okay. I haven't written him back to thank him and let him know I'm out of the hospital, but...
Oh, that's critical.
I know, I will. I just really liked the way he handled it. And also, you know what? My surgeon, the second surgeon,
mm-hmm.
the one that, not the one who performed the first surgery, because he truly ignored everything I said and almost let me die. I'm not exaggerating. And it's really scary when a professional is telling you something, nothing is wrong, and your body is telling you something is, because you feel crazy. And when they tell you you're acting crazy too, it doesn't help. So anyway, so not him, not a love letter to him, but the surgeon that came in and stepped in and, you know, performed the surgery, the second surgery, and really was strict with me and said, you are healing from this for 6 weeks. You're not getting out of this bed. And I didn't want to do it, but I could tell he had my best interest at heart and he saved me. So, you know, him too.
Okay, those are two really good letters to do. I hope you do them. And my understanding is that people don't so often, or I don't think often enough, get those letters of gratitude from medical teams
mm-hmm.
who really see you tiptoe past death.
Yeah.
And yes. Okay.
Okay.
I hope you do it.
I hope so.
So will you come back and do another one of these as your life and career takes on more, and just let us know how and what you're doing?
Yes, I would love to.
Thank you. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you so much.
My goodness, you have got. I don't have to wish for a television moment because you're seen by people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, okay, so keep your eyes open, everybody, for more of Santina Muha. Mm-hmm. And you'll be happy you did. Thank you. So
thank you.
Just until next time, I'm going to say goodbye. And I just want to say again that if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion. And look what it brought into this girl's life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Luke
okay.
Perry.
Luke Perry. My goodness. I love this story. Anyway, thank you, dear. And we'll talk to you all another time. Bye for now.
Bye.